Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. I want to thank everybody for all the kind comments from yesterday's show, all of the great support and love that I got from everybody regarding my own strange paranormal encounter over this last week and finding a lost loved one I did not know existed. What? You don't know the story? Well, you should listen to every episode of Beyond the Darkness, because you miss out on really good stuff. If you haven't listened, go back and check out tomorrow's show, or yesterday's show, rather, on Monday. And it's after the first hour of Supernatural News leading into Parashare, I tell my encounter. And as many of you have known, I've been leading a struggle over the last nearly a year since the passing of my mother, and having never had a paranormal visitation or confirmation. And I think I got a pretty interesting connection that I can probably attribute to my mom, and probably the mom of my daughter. So you'll have to check that out and go listen to the show and find out what happened. It's a pretty exciting story, and very excited to be sharing that. So when I found this news out, I knew that I had to tell a couple of my friends, especially the one we're going to have on tonight. She is a fantastic guest. I'm sorry it's taken so long to get her on Beyond the Darkness, but we are so privileged to have her back with us. She is an actress, comedian, writer, neurophysicist, NASA scientist, paranormal investigator, medium. She's also a hell of a card shuffler, and she's back with us tonight, Brett Butler. Brett, it is a pleasure to have you back.
Hey, Dave, I was just putting all those things on my resume. Bless you. I wish I could see you and hug you. I love the story, you guys. If you don't know Dave's story, then really go look it up. It's awesome.
Well, here's what's, Brett, I've got to tell you personally how much you've meant to us, not only as a friend of the show, but you became such a good friend to my mother. And I know in the last couple of months leading up to her passing, you were there to talk with her, and you held her hand metaphysically through some of what was coming. And
she held my hand, Dave. No kidding. Her mom, I did know. I'm not just saying, oh, shucks. I mean, I love you. I love your family. But honest to gosh, your mom was, as they say, blank to the wall. She was awesome. She helped me a lot. She was very courageous and beautiful and spiritual about everything. Just, it was my privilege and pleasure.
Well, and what's really kind of fascinating to me, I mean, a lot of people that are just new to our show, I don't know that they're aware of this. Of course, Brett Butler was the star of Grace Under Fire. She's been a comedian, an author. She's well recognized all around the world in the entertainment field. And a lot of people don't know, and we kind of help drag you out of the closet kicking and screaming, that you are also a sensitive. And you talked about it a little bit on Coast to Coast with George Norrie, and then you were kind enough to come on our show. And because you do so much great work with elder forgotten animals, you started using your abilities to do readings, and the money that you were raising went a long way to help medication, surgeries, feeding, care, love for these dogs.
It really has. It's been awesome. Yeah.
And so you've really, our listeners absolutely love you that have had readings with you both on the show and in private. And we'll have links up to Brett's website. So if you want to set up private readings with her, you certainly can. And again, knowing that the money not only goes to Brett Butler, but it helps to pay elderly animals in care, and she takes care of, God, what have you, dogs, cats, birds, iguanas? What the hell don't you take care of?
Yeah, no, I don't have any scaly any scaly creatures. And by golly, I don't have ferrets. Ferrets kind of creep me out. And I don't want to get bad email from ferret lovers. It's just maybe I have yet to meet that ferret that doesn't remind me of Joe Pesci.
Nice. And it's been, you know, it's been really fun, too, in this last year since we've launched over onto Beyond the Darkness on the Jericho Network as part of Podcast One. I've had a great opportunity to come in contact with some amazing people, including Jay Moore and Tom Arnold.
He's a doll. And so is Tom, by the way.
They love you. They had nothing but kind words to say about you and told me to make sure to say hello to you. And they are just, they were adoring of you. So I wanted to make sure you pass that on. But you have been a big part of our world, and you've certainly gone out of your way for our family and been there. So I really do appreciate it, Brett. You've been a breath of fresh air. But you got something I didn't get. You actually had some communication with my mom after she passed.
Yeah, I did. But see, originally when I wrote you an email to say I dreamed about your mom, and then you wrote back, I'm glad your mom, my mom communicated with you. I honestly did not think that was a communication. It just, she'd been on my mind, and she's one of the people, I can just hear her voice. I hear Terry talking sometimes. But I want to be clear about the difference between, you know, that dream and when I had it. But I had a reading with someone in your family who missed your mom a great deal. And Terry came through like, I'm not saying I channeled her, but I was doing Terry's voice. I was doing your mom's voice, making fun of my own accent, Dave.
That sounds like my mom. Exactly. And she adored you. And my aunt is the one that you did the reading for. And I know she's fine with us talking about that. My aunt and mom were best of friends. And she reached out. And actually, my aunt told me she had a reading. She goes, I had a great reading. You might want to consider getting a reading, honey. And I said, I don't want to rely on a medium. I just want mom to communicate with me. You know, I want
right.
to get that sign. And she wouldn't tell me for the life of me who the medium was for quite
I asked her not to. I did not want to seem intrusive. I also know you have a lot of friends who are mediums. And I just did not want to. I didn't want it to be a conceit. I figured if you were ready and wanted it, I heard you loud and clear when you said ever since I met you, you just kind of, in a very nice way, you said, Brett, I know you're psychic, and just with all love, keep it to yourself.
Right.
So I did.
You know, that frustrates my friends to no end. Michael and Marty Perry, who I love as well, and we talk about on the show, they're very gifted mediums. They have tried endlessly to give me a message, and they're like, your mom. And I'm like, well, then she can come through to me over here. And it's not because,
but sometimes that is the message, by the way.
I know. And I've got to lighten up on that. My main fear, and I think a lot of people listening that have, you know, contemplated communicating with a loved one that has passed through a medium can relate to this. The problem was, my mom was so beloved in the paranormal field and knew so many of you. My mom had readings with you, and Michael and Marty Perry had readings with her, and Chip Coffey read her, and Chris Fleming. So, like, really, all of my really gifted medium friends already knew my mom and knew her well and had readings with my
right.
mom. So, to me, it was just, I was so uncomfortable with the idea of getting a reading from somebody, because I know you guys love me, we're friends. I know, you know, I'm going through a hard time. So a lot of it to me was, I don't want my friends trying to help me by saying what they think I need to hear right now.
Exactly.
Right. I wanted
to
know.
And you know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Even though I could swear to you I wouldn't do that.
Right.
We would enter an area where wishful thinking could not be ruled out, Dave.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's been the thing for me. So, you know, the funny thing is, everybody's like, well, just reach out to a medium that doesn't know you. And I'm like, well, right. But the problem is then I don't know how good they are. I guess I could just test them. But the fact is it's just such a weird point. But I was happy to hear that you had had such a great connection with my aunt and
I wish,
my mom.
Frankly, this is, and I don't say this often, I wish Judy taped the session because there were so many messages that your mom gave, and I'm, as a medium, I'm fine if I don't understand one of the messages as
right.
long as the client does, you know? But I would say things that I had no idea what it meant, and Judy got all excited, and those are the watermarks of a good reading to me. When I'm mystified and the client is yelling, it's her, you know?
Right. Well, and talking about things you don't understand sounds exactly like my mom.
No, it was like secret code
right.
and stuff that Judy would understand.
That's great.
And stuff for you in there. And I love, you know, Judy and I just made an agreement. You know, I just said, I know how many of us love you and how many, I didn't want to be one that was clamoring to get, there's nothing like a reading against your will. You know?
Right. And nobody's done that. Michael and Marty just know that I want to have that connection. So they've been the only ones that were outspoken about it, but not in an intrusive way at all. But you know, truthfully, if I've got to believe, which is part of my own stupidity, if mom was going to come through to me, it would be through one of three of you. And the Perrys, you, or probably Chip Coffee would be the people she would come to through me because she adored you guys so much. So I should be stupid, get off my stupidness and do this, especially if she's talking in code. She probably is ready to give a message, so I might do that. But I'll tell you, for people that didn't listen to yesterday's show, real quick recap, my cousin had asked my mom, my cousin's big into genealogy and ancestry, and asked my mom, would you be willing to do the DNA test through Ancestry.com? And my mom said, yeah. And then she developed her cancer last year. And from the day we found out on August 15th, she passed away 4 months to the date later in November. And so she never got around to doing that. And here we are almost a year later. And my cousin thought, well, you know what? Terry couldn't do it. Maybe Dave would do it. So she called me out of the blue and said, Dave, would you be willing to do this DNA test? I said, yeah, go ahead. You know, I'm all for learning more about my family. And who knows, maybe, and I will laugh, say that when I tell you this, Brett, I looked in my family tree just to reevaluate it today. I'm related to a bunch of butlers.
Isn't that funny? So, yeah, that's my stepfather's name, so that would not be kin to me.
Hey, it would still be kin to you in a side note. We'll take it that way. But it was funny to have that connection. And then there was one name that popped up that I couldn't make sense of, and I called my cousin, and she looked it up, and she said, well, Dave, it appears you have a daughter. And I did some detective work and legwork and found out I have a beautiful daughter living in Hoffman Estates. Her mother didn't realize I was the father at the time and had given the baby up for adoption, and she led a beautiful life and still is. So I've got a beautiful daughter. I've got a 5-year-old grandson living in Illinois. And it was just really exciting to get this news. And I really felt like, and even in talking to her now, I really think that it was her mom who passed away, her adopted mom, her real mom, if you will, who raised her and was her mom, passed away in 2015. And then my mom passed away last year. And to me, I've been waiting for this message. I've been waiting for a message. And what are the odds? I spit in a cup. She spits in a cup 2 months apart. If either one of us don't do this, this connection's never made. We both spit in a cup. We both find out we're related this way. We both have this morbid fear and fascination of death, and we're both mourning our mothers, you know, unbearably. And it just seems like, you know, I think both of our moms came together to fill in this last piece of our life puzzle, and hopefully that we can help each other get through this. And with the loss of our moms, we now have the gain of a new love in our life. And I'm lucky enough to get two of them.
And the music, Ugwa D is playing, Ugwa Da is playing.
Exactly. Exactly. So that was all fascinating. So I, again, as soon as I got this news, one of the people I had to call right away was Brett. And I'm like, Brett, you got to hear about this. Give me a call. And she did. And the support and love you show is fantastic. But my daughter was extremely excited that I know you, and she loves you to death as well. So it was very neat to know this connection and just have all these things pop up.
But, no, yeah. I didn't know the part about her real, like you said, the one that raised her, your real mom. I didn't know that she was also in heaven.
Yes.
So this is, you know, this is unequivocal, beautiful proof of other side conspiracies.
And what would be the odds? We both spit in a cup. We both do this within 2 months of each other. The couple of days before I get this, she puts all of her personal information on LinkedIn so I can find her. I mean, what are the odds? Mm-hmm. She didn't put it so I could find her, but she just happened to post it, and I was able to do the research. My fiance did the research and found her, and we found out how old she was. We found out where she lived. We got all this great information. And I said, like I said, the only part that was a bit of a disappointment is here. My mom loved her grandchildren so much, and my daughter grew up just 12 miles from my mom and never got the privilege of getting to know my mom.
Well,
and my mom,
you know,
never got that privilege.
Again, I'm just reminding you, your mom is probably playing with these grandkids as much as if she was here.
I agree. But it's I had talked to you, and I, you know, we're always looking for signs, Brett. We always want to find signs. And, you know, I sat there beating myself up because I was thinking, you know, I had so many people tell me, well, you're just not ready, and I've tried my best. I mean, you know, I took the passing hard, of course, but I've also tried to remain open about the fact that we had such a great relationship. I mean, the mourning, I understand, is more for my loss. It's not for my mom. It's just, you know, mourning the fact that she's not here for me anymore. It's a very egocentric thing. And we look for signs. And, you know, we want that lightning bolt. Even my daughter was telling me she's waited to hear from her mother. And yet she's had dreams about her mother, and very clear, concise, interesting dreams where it's jet black all around her mom, but her mom is standing there talking to her. And I told her, honey, that's a dream visitation. You are having communication with your mom.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, we're able to substantiate that. But these signs, Brett, as somebody who's a sensitive, why are we so blocked off to these kind of communications sometimes?
Well, you know, I have, first of all, to be quite honest, I have no idea. There's all kinds of, you know, people speculate you're not ready or this or that. I'm not really sure. I do know that some people who mm-hmm. are not believers get the most vivid signs,
right.
You know? And then some people like us who know that the dead don't really die and they're all around us. I'll just give you this example. My beautiful aunt, my mother's younger sister, who's only 11 years older than I, my only aunt, had a horrible kind of arthritis that killed her in less than a week. It was awful. She was on life support, and her daughter was flying in to say goodbye, and this is 3,000 miles from me, and I was out on my patio, and I didn't want to keep texting. Is she dead yet? You know, I didn't want to do that, and I'm sitting there just grief-stricken, alone, surrounded by my dogs on the patio one cool spring day. David Bird, the likes of which I have never seen, jumped on top of the 5-foot-tall solid fence that I have. It did not fly up there. It jumped. I've still never seen this bird. Made eye contact with me, and my dogs, and my rat terrier will chase anything. It's like my dogs were immobilized. I had 5 of them at the time. And they were immobilized. The bird jumped down at my feet, equidistant between the dogs, who really did not budge. It was like something came over them, okay? Because a bird that would jump down in front of 5 dogs and not be afraid.
Right.
The bird sat there during, I say about 6 minutes, because 2 songs played on the radio, and I figured they're about 3 minutes apiece. I couldn't move either, and the bird never broke eye contact with me. And then it jumped up on the top of the fence, looked at me one more time, and then it flew off. I can't swear to anyone, and people will say that was wishful thinking, but as soon as the bird flew off, my dogs went nuts, like they had been in some kind of a, you know, Snow White trance or
right.
something. And sure enough, right after that happened, I got the text. Now, am I saying that my aunt was in that bird box? No. I don't know what it was, but it had something to do with her crossing over. And it was a way that I could be comforted, and it, you know, I don't know what all the answers are. I just know the other side is whispering at the top of their lungs.
And it's just time to listen and kind of tune ourselves into this. And you're into many different aspects of the paranormal, which really impressed me as well. It wasn't just, you know, I speak to dead people or I hear dead people, but you've actually got a real fascination. How long, for new listeners, Brett, how long have you realized that, A, you've had some of this ability, and B, that you had such an overwhelming fascination in different aspects of the paranormal?
Well, when you're little, you just think everyone rolls this way, you know? You think everyone reads minds when it's important, stuff like that. I'm closing the door, my cat was in a room he's not supposed to be in. You know how that goes.
Right.
But then when you get older, you realize that it happened to me like a tsunami about 10 years ago. What I'm interested in now, we talked about this briefly. I have a good friend who does what he calls spirit rescue. His name is Lon Strickler. And he does it for no charge. And people laugh at it until you have a haunting or something really demonstrating in a malevolent or frightening way, you know, in your vicinity, or especially something happening with your children. And, what I'm interested in now, the aspect of it that I care about is quite frankly, finding angels that are the good ones. Not all angels are good. You know, I have a sister who feels quite certain about the statistics, Dave. She goes, you know, a third of the angels have fallen. And I said, well, that means two thirds of them are good, right?
Right.
You know, so I think it's real important when people are talking to angels and asking for them. I think it's important for any time anyone is doing, even thinking about the unseen or things paranormal, to protect themselves. That's really what I'm into now. It's helping people protect themselves and keep their lights on really bright, you know? I would love to do more of that.
That's a fascinating aspect as well, because, all right, listen, we're all fascinated by life and death. We're all fascinated by the idea, even atheists who will stand there and preach that there's nothing else will tell you that they'd like to believe there is, but they just don't. But they would love there to be something after this life. If we should protect ourselves, how do we know we're not being tricked by someone claiming to be our mother, our grandfather, our grandpa, you know, our daughters and sons or loved ones? How, you know, should we be cautious in the way that we communicate? Is it best to leave it to people like you?
Definitely. No, I wouldn't ever be that vainglorious, you know, to say something like that. But I will say the phrase, you can't be too careful. First of all, use your common sense. That's why we got given intuition and common sense, and they're really interlinked. And I'm not saying it happens to everyone. I think we used to get away with more. I think it used to be kind of fun to walk in the cemetery really late at night and have a, you know, take a Ouija board to a cemetery at one point. You know, when we were growing up, might have been okay. We got protected, you know.
Right.
But now the world is filled with so many, the same thing that helps humanity, like a lot of technology, it's the same thing that kind of makes the spirit world a little more dangerous nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
So just, you know, without being religious about it at all, I think the difference between religion and spirituality is enormous. And it sounds really corny, but imagining that there's light all around you, because if there's anything, something malevolent fears and doesn't like, it's an excess of light. And, you know, so whatever you think is not necessarily holy, but what means the most to you, you can, that's God. That's the great thing about Chrome and browsing. just, you know, browse ways to protect yourself. There's a guy named, I don't know if you've heard of him, he's fascinating. His name is Dr. Terrence Palmer. And he's in England, because in England they are so much kinder about this stuff. He does spirit release. Do you know that they have had a lot of success with people who are schizophrenics, who are hearing voices, Dave, that ends up being spirit, intrusive bad spirits in their lives? And that once they do this spirit rescue, the person is fine.
Fascinating. I know the skeptics immediately are going to say, well, sure, you're telling a mentally ill person that it's ghost and you're giving them a snake oil, you know, a salve to rub on this false ideal, and that's what they believe is curing them.
I would urge them to look at the documentary about it. It's not just me. It's not just some guy claiming it on his website. The fact is, and you know this, you've been over there, you know these people, and Great Britain is a they have a healthy curiosity about spiritualism.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't throw babies out with the bathwater. And look, there's nothing I can't stand more than unicorn hunters. You know, it's the part that makes being into this. You know, I see people's eyes roll back in their head, and this was nothing I planned to get into, by the way. I thought, great, like I told you, I have to wear a goddess dress and, you know, move to Santa Fe and change my name to Inca or something. And, It's not happening that way. You can be a boots on the ground mystic. I know this sounds, I don't mean to sound sexist, but I love when I get male clients, because they, you know, I think it would be just great to have more men interested in this in a way. Men miss just as many dead people as we do, you know? And I think there's a lot of, that's the word I'm looking for. They don't want anybody to make fun of them, you know, for like calling the medium or something like that. And that's, you know, that's just too bad, isn't it?
It is. And I get where you're coming with. I think there are more people coming out of that mediumistic and sensitive closet on a regular basis, men and women. I just, right. Like you said, I think the cautionary part is, as I'm sure it was for you, right? You're a celebrity, and then you're coming out with this ability. Is this just a new iteration of Brett Butler trying to cash in on a new way to, you know, stay relevant?
Right.
You know, I mean, people, I think, get afraid that if I show this aspect of me, it's going to make me look silly, or it's going to make me look crazy, or whatever, without realizing that there is something to this. And so many people have sensitivities to things, even people that think that they don't. You know, one of my favorite experiences, when we first started doing our paranormal events back in 2006, we began at in Warwick, Rhode Island, with the Ghost Hunters. And Steve Gonzalez, Paula Donovan were our lead investigators from the TV show. And we were at this haunted hotel. And we had this, you know, we broke them up into two groups. One went down into the downstairs that's known to be haunted. Another one went up into the upstairs and into the haunted room. And about halfway through the second part of the investigation, I had this guy come down very agitated. He's walking back and forth. He's rubbing his neck, and he's just really agitated and upset. And I go up to him. I go, what's going on? He goes, well, I don't know. I don't believe in any of this crap. I'm here for my wife. She wanted to do this. If I do this, I get to go to Vegas with my buddies this year. So I'm like, whatever, fine. He goes, I go in that room. I felt like somebody was choking me, Dave. It literally felt like I was gargling and gagging on something and choking. He goes, it was horrible. So he was frustrated. So we cycle the next team through, and he's cut out of the ghost hunt. He's in the lobby. About halfway through the second cycle, another guy comes out doing the exact same thing, very agitated, same situation. And he felt the same thing, as though his throat was filling up with fluid and he couldn't breathe. It felt like he was suffocating or drowning. He walks out and refuses to go back in. And both of these guys are ardent skeptics, refuse to admit or adhere to the possibilities of the paranormal. Their wives come down at the end of the night, and the two husbands tell them, you know, what their experiences were. And then we revealed what had happened in these rooms. And in the room that they were in, a man slit his own throat and then regretted it as he's bleeding out, he grabbed the phone, called down to the front desk clerk and tried to call for help and gurgled and choked to death on his own blood and died. They went up, found him. That was it. So here you have these two skeptics who don't believe, and they both relived this man's last few moments and could feel this. And they had no idea what the story was. They weren't even going in with a preconceived notion of what the story was. So it is fun when you can watch somebody who's kind of removed from this and has no interest. And they have and the funny part to me, Brett, at the end was the two wives were livid. And I'm like, what's wrong? And they were fighting. And they're like, well, this is complete and utter bullshit. I'm the one that wanted to be here. I'm the one that wanted to come to this. And he gets to have the experience. And we were all laughing. I mean, like, in hysterics in the lobby.
I would not be envious of that experience.
No, not at all. But it was, and that's what we were laughing about. I'm like, so let me get this straight. You wish you couldn't breathe and were forced out of a bedroom because you felt like you were drowning on your own blood. And then they kind of got this dirty look on their face, and they're like, whatever, it's still supposed to be my event, and I didn't feel anything. And I'm like, well, you do go home with an experience. You now have a husband who's a believer and may not roll his eyes so hard at you next time you tell him about your experience.
Chicks, go figure, huh?
Yeah, right, chicks. But it was so great, and we've had so many of those experiences where non-believers come up to me later and tell us these things. And, you know, I started with, why do we miss some of these signs, was kind of our beginning question. And
well, you know, I wish this was TV day, because just yesterday, I'm going to try and say this without getting choked up, I found out one of my dear friends for like 30 years in comedy passed away. He was found alone in his house, and no one knows. They haven't done, you know, the autopsy's not out yet, but I just love him so much. He was one of the writers on my show. I've known him through comedy. I just loved him. And I told my sister, while I was crying, I said, I'm going to try to find him in heaven, which doesn't always work when a medium is emotional about someone, you know? Well, last night, before I went to bed, I was uploading some of these little orb videos that I take, you know? And between pet tricks and orb videos, I found a picture on my phone that I did not take. I'll send it to you privately.
Okay.
If you want to post it on your Facebook, you can. They are the most, I don't know if they're orbs. I'm not saying what they are. All I'm saying is that it may be the most beautiful picture that ever appeared on my phone.
And when Brett is referring to orbs, she's not, I know that you listeners of the show know that we dismiss a lot of the orb phenomena, and what she's referring to is not.
And they should be, by the
right.
way. I'm down with that. Most orbs are not orbs at all.
Right. They're dust, they're moisture, they're bugs. But in some of these cases, they are things that you're seeing with your naked eye.
Yes. Yes. And that, you know, the one I showed you that was the square that was two colors that
right.
was floating towards me?
Yeah.
I saw that with my eyes. I know my dogs did because one of them barked, and that's what made me, I was recording him doing tricks, and he stopped and looked over. The weird part of that was that this is the first time that was in February, and I'd only been recording them for a month. It floated towards me, and on the video, you can hear me say hello to it. And then a second later, I run like a girl. But it landed on my heart. I did not feel anything. And you're talking, as my friend said, he calls it my own private UFO. It may just be 5 feet off the ground, but it is an unidentified floating object, is what we call it. And 4 weeks ago, about a mile from my house, walking at night, one of the dogs was busy, and the other dog, the big poodle, was sitting and looking up, wagging his tail real gently, like almost at a friend. You know how dogs' tails wag slow?
Right.
I looked up, and I didn't see anything, but I used the phone camera instead of the real digital camera. I turned on the phone, and all of a sudden, that orb, the same one, came back. I can't call it an orb. It was a square. The cube floated right back, and it went right towards the camera. And this time you hear me chuckle and say hello to it. I was the opposite of scared. I was happy to see it. Now, do I know what that is? Heck no. I have no idea. Let me ask you, have you heard about those floating crystals in Arkansas at the crystal mine?
No, I shouldn't say that. I've heard some of it, but I've not really gotten that into it yet that deeply to know what's going on. What can you tell us about that?
Okay, well, all right. It's at the Board Camp Crystal Mine in Mena, Arkansas, which is in the Northwest Mountains. And these people just, they had a little 50-acre crystal mine. People come in and get their own crystals. And it's going to be on one of these, I'm sorry, I don't remember the paranormal shows. They had these photographs and videos of the crystal raising, the temperatures change, light phenomena happen. I'm the only person I know that it's the Board Camp Crystal Mine. It's on their YouTube channel, and they had videos of that. But what I'm fascinated with is the light phenomena that happens while these crystals float, because there are things in the sky. And one of my friends, and I know it's still hearsay, one of my friends has been there to see what happens in the sky. The difference between orbs and UFOs has never been more fascinating to me. They have a video about the light phenomena that happens there. I frankly think the veil is thinning. I think I don't know what exactly is going on, but I think people who don't feel like they have a psychic bone in their body need to start really, I want you guys to pay attention. I don't want you to leave it just to us, you know, the ones who see dead people and stuff like that.
You know, we just talked about on the show Friday with Joshua P. Warren about UFOs, organic UFOs. And we discussed a lot of that aspect. And what is it? Are these living creatures? Are they craft? Are they half biological, half mechanical beings? And, you know, Joshua is from North Carolina, where the Brown Mountain Lights are. And there is that kind of light phenomena as well. Some people will say it's ball lightning. Some say it's swamp gas. But it seems to have an intelligence to it. And it moves about, and it's something that's replicable.
He was nice enough. He looked at my video, and then he said, he's so funny. He said, well, you need to have two cameras going at the same time. I said, Josh, that's not going to happen. First of all, I was just trying to film my rat carrier doing a trick. And the reason, too, is that I'm not trying to prove anything to anyone. These are anomalous things that, and believe me, I really have better things to do. Somebody actually told me in one of them, that's CGI. And I said, first of all, if I knew how to do CGI, I would be working for Spielberg. And right. I would certainly do a better one than that. I know that. And now that CGI is possible on virtually any idiot can make it look like a ghost is really in your house, stuff like that. Let me tell you one example that happened. When I first began to film these orbs, and I do think some people are more, I don't know, open to them, or some people are kind of like beacons. So I think if you look for them, you'll get them. Well, when I was filming recording my dogs doing tricks, I was chatting it up with the dogs, and then orbs were dancing around the room. Well, then when I played the video back, I heard voices that weren't mine, and a few times they were saying very unsavory things. So a girlfriend of mine who is a big, let's just say she's a really big mystic. She's further down the road than I want to be. She said, do not talk while you're doing those things. They can borrow the energy from your voice. Now, there's nothing like playing the video back when you know darn well you were the only one in the room with your dogs and your cat, and then something comes out that sounds like it's from The Exorcist.
Right.
Yeah, so I shut up while I was taping them. I do get excited and say hello sometimes. Especially when I'm away from home and there's something beautiful, like those big blue and green iridescent orbs that come up. They're so pretty. There's nothing malevolent about them.
And now, is this a relatively new phenomena for you? I mean, is this something that you've seen before but you're just starting to understand? Or is this new altogether?
No, it's brand new. I got a letter last fall. I got a letter from a fan who sent me photographs of orbs she takes pictures of. Now, this particular person says, and I'm quoting, that she's on a mission from God, and she believes, and I'll say this, she has pictures of thousands of orbs in her yard. She lives near a very mystical, beautiful place in Florida, near the, near the St. Francis Trail, in swamp country. You know, it's if you're going to get orbs, it's probably going to be that close to nature. So I just love looking at her photographs. So I was on YouTube and I was looking at different orb pictures, and then I found one channel where a woman was holding out her hand and orbs would land on her hand. And I didn't believe, I just had a feeling there wasn't any trickery involved. And so I wrote a question, are you taking these videos on your cell phone? And she wrote back, yes. So about a couple of weeks later, I had shampooed my carpets where I figured the dust would be way down. I know how much of those are dust, by the way.
Right.
You know, I'm not, I didn't go into this going, oh, every little round thing is some, you know, Jesus in a bubble or something.
Right.
So I had cleaned the rug, but the rug was still wet, and I was sitting up on my bed, and all of a sudden I turned on my cell phone, and I will never forget the first feeling I had when I saw, like, a couple of dozen beautiful round things floating in different directions, different directions in the room. And by the way, when the camera light went on, one of my dogs and the cat, and one of the cats seemed to see them. Cats are real, I don't know, they're like orb partners or something. I see orbs go into the cat's eyes, which is really freaky. But anyway, that's how that happened. That's how that started at the end of January. And I've been shooting them since then. And I know the ones that happened. I even did a video of making orbs happen. I made them happen with dust. Now, I know a man who is a reverend who used to do spirit clearings, and he has this theory about, you know, our bodies are stardust, and that because I have taped dust orbs that I made intentionally, and you can see the dust orbs, but out of those dust orbs come the kind where if you freeze the frame, you'll see a face inside the orb. And I don't mean two dots in the nose. I mean a detailed human face inside one of these bubbles.
Wow. See, that's been interesting. And I have to laugh that you mentioned that two little eyes and a nose. I've had people send me blown up pictures of orbs, and they're like, you can see a face. And I've laughed and I've said, well, yes, do you believe you're being haunted by a 1970s button? Because they look like the yellow smiley face. We have to take a quick break. We've got more of the paranormal and high strangeness with Brett Butler. And I want to bring up a point. You talked about watching the orbs go into the cat's eyes. I've had a fascinating experience we'll talk about when we return. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
We're back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. And don't forget, it is True Crime Tuesday. Mark Anthony is here in Colder Blood. That's today's episode as we talk about one of the most famous and chilling true crime stories in history, In Cold Blood. We'll talk about some of the inaccuracies surrounding Truman Capote's accounts. Did he get too close to this story? Well, we're going to talk to our own attorney at large. Mark Anthony is here to chat with us about that. Plus, we've got some brand new dumb crime, stupid criminals, and you guys are going to laugh along with us because there's just some stupid people out there doing dumb stuff this next week or this last week, and we'll be sharing that with you. We're here this evening on our Beyond the Darkness podcast talking with a good friend of ours, Brett Butler. She is back. And Brett, before I tell you about my story, I do want to mention so people can find you. If they're interested in getting readings, how can they reach out to you? What's the best way to do that?
Through realbrettbutler.com.
Real? Brett
BrettButler.com. We'll have a link up to that on the page for the episode as well. So if you want to contact Brett.
Come find me on Facebook. I have a verified Shona Facebook page, and there's all the info on that, too.
So. You are such a big shot celebrity. Look at that, getting a real verified page and everything.
It took a year.
Well, everybody thought you were the baseball player at first, right?
They did.
You don't look like a man. You don't look like a baseball player.
I'm taller than he is, darn it.
Well, Brett, you mentioned something about watching these orbs with your naked eye and that you've actually seen them enter the cat's eyes. This is a fascinating aspect I heard as a child. And, again, I don't know if this is all part of urban legend or not. One thing is the reason that dolls started having eyes that would close at night is much like the mirror phenomena. When we would go to bed or during funerals, wakes, you would cover the mirrors so that the souls would not get trapped inside the mirrors. The eyes to dolls were considered windows, and that is how some dolls become haunted, is that the spirit has been known to go through the eyes and attach to the dolls. So they began making dolls with eyes that would close, they said, for realism, but it was also too superstitious to keep spirits from entering these dolls. So that was interesting. And then I started hearing stories growing up about cat's eyes, and that cats had the, we talk so much about how animals are much more adept to experiencing the paranormal and seeing, witnessing, and sensing these things. And I had heard that if you can ever get a cat to sit still long enough and look in their eyes, sometimes you will see things reflected in their eyes that seem to be moving around in the room behind you. And maybe that's why I was not a cat guy for a long time. That idea kind of creeped me out. Cats are freaky enough, right?
That freaked me out too, and I love cats.
Right. So I actually have tried this experiment in my very haunted, weird townhouse here, and my cat, Mr. Mittens, will tolerate me staring into his eyes for about a minute and a half. My cat Miss Scarlet would much rather just lay in my lap and fall asleep, and if I try to look into her eyes, she tries to remove my nose with her talons. So I found Mr. Mittens is definitely more my paranormal partner when it comes to these supernatural superstitions. And I have seen not ghosts, but I have seen things move when I'm looking into the cat's eyes and I'm petting him. I trick him, make him thinking that I'm talking to him, being very loving towards him with baby talk while stroking his head so I can look into his eyes. But I have seen things move in the room behind me. So very weird.
All right, homie's not playing that.
Yeah. So it's weird. Is it that again, the reason that they say is because dogs and cats can see in different spectrums than humans can, just like they can smell and hear in different frequencies. Mm-hmm. So it would only make sense. Now, again, it's never like I've seen something ghoulish, but I'll be looking in the cat's eyes,
right.
And it's as if a shadow moves behind me and I can see the reflection in the cat's eyes. So it's kind of interesting
to
me.
That's why, that's why witches had cats. Cats are also very, very good about keeping certain not totally friendly spirits away from the house. Cats are positive creatures to have. By the way, if people don't know this, Dave has the prettiest cat I've ever seen. And I have to say that out of earshot of my corpulent little tabby here. I just the idea that anything would be, reflected in their eyes. You don't just have one, but you have two of the prettiest cats on earth.
Well, I don't like to brag, but I do have some pretty good taste
they
when
really
it comes to
are.
Cats. Yeah. No, they're
I think
silly.
The cats have good taste.
Yeah, they do. We met each other and saved each other at the local shelter. Never having been a cat guy before, I've become one since, and they are my little lifelines, especially when my kids are out of town. They are there. Whenever I've been down and depressed, these cats are at my side, loving on me, keeping me safe, warm, and protected, and sometimes trying to smother me with their own love, unless you try to look in Scarlet's eyes and then she'll take off your nose. Other than that, she's a very sweet, affectionate cat. But it is fascinating to me that maybe there is this spiritual connection to these animals more so than we've ever given credit. Now, I will be the first to say, again, I'm not always a firm believer that animals are picking up on the supernatural. Just because they're looking into a corner and tilting their head could be that they're just hearing, a fire alarm two blocks away. and they're adjusting to hear it, or they're smelling something and they're trying to get their nose in the right place for it. So that, you know, we don't realize just how powerful their senses are. So some, before you start getting into that,
right,
before you start freaking out when the dog's staring off into the corner. Now, the times I've been unnerved, like I said, when my cat got thrown back out of my closet backwards, that was a time that I realized this wasn't just my cat overreacting. It flew out as though somebody had put its hands underneath his front legs and pushed him out of my closet. Or when you've seen dogs.
When did that happen?
Oh, that was shortly after he moved in with me. And I've heard things moving around in my closet. We've talked about it on air for a couple of years here. The cat would never really go in there. And finally, he ventured into the closet and within just a few seconds came flying out of the closet backwards and hit the ground like somebody picked him up and threw him. And then he avoided my closet for a long time. And the couple of times they've gone in there, when they have gone in there, they will get violently sick and throw up in my closet. And I've watched them. They'll be walking around fine, and they're not, like, heaving or anything. They'll go into the closet, and all of a sudden I'll just see Mittens start convulsing and bleh, puke. And I'm just like, wow, something does not like my cats. And in the closet.
Put some,
so
I know you'll think, I can't believe I'm saying this. Put some salt in there.
You know what? I don't mind having the ghost here. And now that we've kind of drawn the division line that you just leave my kids and my cats alone, we're okay. We haven't had those kind of issues again in a while. But there, even my mom, when she was here, she would be unnerved. Sometimes she would be like, go close the closet door. Something's moving around in there. So it was many people were having these experiences and telling me, but independently. So it was kind of kind of fun. Now, we were talking off air a little bit, Brett, and I want to get into this before we have to take a break. But you were talking about kind of connecting with angels and these kind of guardian angels that have been with us since birth. Talk to me a little bit more about that. That was fascinating.
Okay. All right. Now, you're just, you know, again, I'm going to make this apology because I'm just going to say, all right, there are about 72 of them. You can go online and just look up birthday guardian angel, put your birthday in. There's all kinds of sites for it. There's an angel for like every 3 or 4 days or whatever. That's the angel. I did this with disbelief, but sincerity. That's the angel that stays with us from the second we draw breath until it's time to check out in this incarnation. Now, all I want to say is the person who told me about this is a learned, powerful mystic. And if he wore a t-shirt that said that, I would not be his best friend, but I know what this guy could do.
All right.
So, he said, establish a relationship with this angel and do it with disbelief, but with sincerity. I did, and it has ramped everything up. I feel more in touch with my guides. I feel more in touch with good angels in general. I think it's really important to differentiate between good. Make sure you just say good angels when you're calling them, by the way. But anybody can go look those up. Mine's name is Yael. It's I-A-H-H-E-L. And believe me, I wish it was Pete or you know, Stacy or something. That was easier to say, but it's not. And that's who they are. And I did have imaginary friends when I was little, and my mom thinks that I was more in touch with my guardians and guides from 2 to 6, that it just took a half a century to find them again.
That's weird to me, and I'm intrigued by it now. And it's funny that you say that you wish that the angels had a name like Steve or Karen, you know, in those kind of sense. I'm much more impressed with an angel named Yael that's spelled crazy. I always told Tim with my luck, mine is named Kip, and he's got like Ray-Bans on and a pink popped collar, and it looks like he's straight out of 1983. You know, if I had
you're describing someone else with a paranormal radio show that's cracking me up right now.
Yeah. So that would be my luck. That would be my paranormal guardian angel, but I'll definitely look into that. So what do you think? I mean, are they there really to guide us? And if we have these guardian angels, Brett, why aren't we inherently protected? Why don't they always stick by us and fend off evil and negativity? I know we have free will, but
okay,
you think that they would still deflect
I believe-
that?
I got you. Now, we have all, I think, if you talk to anybody, we all have been saved inexplicably by that you know, whether it's a voice that said, don't drive that way on the way to work, or something that pushed us out of the way of an oncoming car. I think everybody's had those moments. The rest of the time, I actually believe that everybody on Earth picks the stagecoach ride before we get here. There's different things we have to learn. I will never, ever say to a parent who's lost a child, oh, you and the child all agreed on this before you incarnated, because that is just cruel and insensate. But I don't believe that our creator does that, that says, oh, let me see, this person deserves to have their insights carved out from grief, you know? I think we choose things in advance because we need to learn. We need to learn all kinds of lessons. And, you know, that thing where nice things happen to good people. And frankly, when enough bad things don't happen to bad people, I'll be darned if I know why. Your question, I have no idea. I do know that to me, if I'm in a situation that seems intolerable or painful, if I just ask to be accompanied and make the best decisions I can once it's happened, if I can be, you know, no pun intended, grace under fire, so to speak, that's really, you know, and I certainly haven't stood up to that example in my life and in adulthood, so.
But you know, talk to the spirit world, and the spirit world talks to you, Brett. Do you ever ask them why? I mean, I would think that would be some of my first questions. If I knew I had the ear of the other side, I would be asking why are spirits or guardians not here to protect us? Is it, you know, and you have to understand from the skeptical side of view, it just sounds like a load of BS. Well, there are certain things we need to learn. We have to get our ass kicked from time to time to learn lessons. And I get that. And I guess maybe what we're not seeing is the other side of it, that, you know, the guardian angel was there to keep the bullet from going through the head, but was there just enough to let it rattle around a little bit and regain your attention. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I guess there's different ways you can look at the way the guardian angel's job really is. Is it their job to save us, or is it their job to help us understand more of what we're supposed to be here doing?
Well, you know, and in that vein, I have heard, and because, again, anybody that says they know all this stuff for sure, I'm just a little leery. I've heard that there are certain angels and guides who come into our lives. It's almost like they jump on a merry-go-round mid-cycle, and they'll stay with us for a certain section of it, and then they go off to help someone else. But there's one angel. Everybody has at least that one that stays our entire lives. I don't know what their job description is. I really don't. You know, and then I also know people that go, well, if it's not in the Bible, it's not happening. I don't think it's all included in the Bible either.
Were you just channeling Ernestine from Lily Tomlin?
No, I was just doing everybody that I grew up with, pretty much.
That was that kind of persnickety Ernestine-y type character, yeah. It is funny, right? How if it doesn't fit our paradigm, it's evil or dark. But it was interesting. You said you've got to call out to the good angels. You would think inherently when we're asking for the angels' help, I guess we forget that there are fallen angels. There are angels who were, reportedly cast out. So if you
who are very attractive and who look, if evil wore a T-shirt, life would be so simple.
Right?
You would know they all are.
Yeah, fascinating. So your voice is dipping in and out on us a little bit, Brett. I don't know if it's movement of the phone
I'm
or what.
I'm standing in one place.
Interesting, yeah. The spirits are trying to speak.
Maybe it's the angels. No, I'm standing right in. I'm so boring. I'm right in my kitchen drinking iced tea, talking to Cousin Dave.
That is not boring at all. When you look at all of the different aspects of the paranormal, and we've talked about, you know, some of the mediumistic and seeing these spirit orbs and such, have you seen a full body apparition yet?
I won't call it that. It looked like a cartoon of a ghost in black. It looked like instead of a white ghost in the sheet, it was in black. And oddly enough, it did not scare me. I still don't know why. It happened when I was a little girl. We were trick-or-treating. This was so funny. My friend's brother said this right before we saw it. Y'all, I hear footprint. And we saw something just enormous, like it was like a shadow, but it was off the ground and you could see through it, like a dark. It's just, I still have no idea what that was. My eyes are all big remembering it. I was 8 years old.
But you knew that it didn't feel inherently evil or dark.
No, it didn't. It felt like it was moving away from us, but it also looked like it, I can't explain this. I've never even said this before. It seemed like it wanted to take care of us. There were like five of us, little kids trick-or-treating. This is back when five little kids could go trick-or-treating alone. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I remember those days. It's a shame that we've kind of lost that part of our innocence.
Of course, we didn't have electricity then. We had to carry flashlights and candles.
And you had old schoolmaster Ichabod Crane walking through town. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That's right. And the Clydesdale with the wagon behind it.
Of course. I mentioned, I want to let listeners know again, it's True Crime Tuesday. If you have not subscribed yet, please do so. And you can check it out by just visiting darknessradio.com. Darknessradio.com. Click on the True Crime Tuesday banner and you can subscribe. You can find more information about it there and never miss another minute in the best of True Crime Talk Radio.
Hey, fantasy football fans, the wait is nearly over and you know that football is back, which means FanDuel is back. Finally, 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 the drought is over. Fantasy football for everyday fans, that's what FanDuel is. New contests are starting every week, and you know what that means? No busted seasons. There's something for everyone, lots of contests to choose from, and they're all starting at just $1. You heard me right, just $1. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time. Now, let me tell you something. Dave and I got a little team going, even though that we're not exactly what you would call fantasy football gurus. I think we've got a little bit of inside tips. We have a friend here in town who happens to run his own leagues quite successfully. We've sat down with him. We've had a little meeting of the minds, and I think we've got a couple of players, a little secret weapon in our pocket, and we're going to make some money this season on FanDuel. So trust us. We'll give you little hints maybe from week to week to let you know who you should be keeping up with. So just stay tuned to us here at Beyond the Darkness, and we'll let you know who you maybe should get in on. We'll get you a little money along with us. How does that sound? Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. You can do it. We're going to do it as well. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click the Join Now button and use our code BEYOND. New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. How do you do it? Well, here's how you do it. You just visit FanDuel.com and sign up with our promo code BEYOND. That's FanDuel.com. And again, our promo code is BEYOND. One more time, FanDuel.com, promo code BEYOND. Void where prohibited.
Brett, when we talk about these different aspects of the paranormal, how does UFOs fit into your realm? Do you believe that we are being visited by aliens? I know that this has kind of been an interest to you, but I'm curious where you've come from now on that perspective.
And say hello to Mark Anthony for me. I just love him.
I certainly will.
Professor, and I would love to work with him sometime, just us do a gallery or something. Anyway, yes, UFOs. I believe, okay, I have no proof of this. I believe that not only are we being visited, I think that we've been visited for quite some time. Most of us had a little ant farm when we were little, those little things between plexiglass that you held it up and looked at all the ants moving around. I'm pretty sure that we're a version of that to some of them, that they are very high up. And unlike we did with the ants, which is kind of forget about them and let them all starve to death in the sand and things again, a forgotten toy. I think that there are some very helpful ones, especially, I think Earth is of great concern to the universe. We are like children with highly high-powered weapons, and we literally are on Earth. What's happening now is, you know, it's never been more ramped up or anything than it is. I also think this: who in the world can tell the difference between an alien and an angel? I think there's good ones, and I think there's bad ones. The Bible and Renaissance paintings are filled with images and descriptions of things that sound not just supernatural, but extraterrestrial, you know?
No, I agree. Yeah, we've been talking about that for a while, about what the possibilities may be. We just covered that with Joshua P. Warren again on Friday, and the many ideas behind what these craft and beings may actually be. Have you ever felt like you've come into contact? And I don't know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, and I don't want to make you sound crazy, but when you're reaching out to the other realm, have you ever come across something that feels alien in nature?
All right. I was on my patio about a year and a half ago, and something, and I don't know what, I just had the feeling to turn around. I turned around, and there was, by any definition, what they call a lenticular cloud. They are the ones that look like the spaceship, right? And people often take pictures of them and post them as spacecrafts, and I say, you idiot, go look up lenticular clouds. That's what they are. Not only are lenticular clouds do not form in the geography of where I live, this one was about 100 yards from my patio. Now, am I saying that a UFO came to visit Brett Butler? No, I'm not. I just know there was no other cloud in the sky. This one was there. I took pictures of it. Boy, did I take pictures of it. I felt, I did see a UFO when I was 21, by the way. It was enormous. It was very well developed. I had a wonderful feeling when I saw it. I was sad when it went away. I can't explain all that. This was just a cloud. And as I was uploading it because I wanted to make sure I had it on my drive and not just in my phone. I didn't trust it. When I looked back, it was completely disappeared in less than 20 seconds. Am I saying that I think a cloaked UFO could have been there? I know it sounds crazy, but I think there's a possibility that that's what I saw.
We don't say crazy anymore, so Brett. We say strangeness. Could it be high strangeness? Okay. Oh, yeah. Taking a page from Art Bell's book, sure, it certainly could be a piece of high strangeness. It only makes sense. I mean, there's so much going on in the world around us. You know, you get to a point in age, and we talk a little bit about it in the first segment and talking about it even now, you start to get jaded after having some of these experiences. You know, and I feel bad. Sometimes I go to these paranormal conferences and I'll go investigate with people and they'll get an EVP or they'll get a light anomaly on film or in camera, or, you know, and they bring it to me. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. And to them, I forget it is the most exciting moment, because I've had those moments, and I always feel bad because I feel like I was like the jaded old uncle who's seen it all because I was in the war. You know, I've been to so many haunted places.
I hear you. Okay. Let me tell you what I got the other night. And okay. This is what it's okay. All right. I see one of my dogs used to eat bugs. I used to be so afraid that he was going to munch down on a yellow jacket because he just would go, oh, look, a bug. And he would eat the bug in front of him. We were walking at night because it's been like 105 here during the day, so walk late at night. And this is exactly a week ago. Pardon me. I saw what I thought were little moths, and it was along a strip where it's just a funny story where I see a lot of orbs, some of the two colored ones. Anyway, I had my phone camera out. I taped something, I recorded something that flew towards the camera, and I thought it was a bug because I could see it with my eyes, and my dog saw it too. Later, and I have it slowed down four times, whatever it is, stretched out, turned colors, changed dimensions in front of the camera, went to six times its length and back again and was flying. A friend of mine says that it's a fairy. Now, and I was telling my mom about it, and she said, that's why they call them fairy tales. And she, now here I am, her oldest daughter, she loves me to pieces, and I know she's wondering if I'm on meds, because my mom is a pretty, you know, boots on the ground realist. something happened early on 10 years ago where she did become, she is convinced that I received messages from people who are no longer incarnate. But this thing, it's not flipping me out. I just really wish that some of my smartest friends, and I mean really, you know, bona fide intellectuals, I have a few of them, they talk to me like they feel sorry for me. And I've sent them videos, and one of them just said, I don't know why this is so important to you. And I said, all I'm asking you is, can you tell me what this is? Will you show this to any scientist friend you have? And it's funny, they get like real upset because there's no explanation.
What do you, you know, I mean, that's the frustrating part for me too. When you really have something, and it drives me crazy. There are people I want to share these experiences with because I want them to have a new awakening. And I try to talk to them, and it's like they throw up these ridiculous walls where, in a sense, to me, they sound more loony trying to discredit what I'm saying as an experience.
Uh-huh.
Right. And does it just drive you mad to know what you know and know that you know what you know? And
we can't
convince others
that I know. Yes. But see, what I'm saying is, I do not know what this is. All I know is that it is anomalous, that it is high strangeness, and that it is, unless someone tells me otherwise, currently inexplicable. And I will say this. Compared to what's happening in Chicago the last several months, there have been like almost 50 sightings of a human-sized flying thing with enough witnesses, and some of them are law enforcement and retired military people, that are seeing something that's been called like a bat or an owl at different places in Chicago proper and right outside the suburbs. What I'm seeing is an itty-bitty-bitty version of that. Would I prefer to see what I'm seeing? You better switch to us. I would. I don't know that I'm ready. However, I do not get a bad feeling from whatever it is. I think there's more than one of them in Chicago. And I know I said, when I said the veil is thinning, here's what I mean. I think the world used to be able to see the little people, the wee folk, and things like that. I think there were, as you know, when people lived in caves, the distance between the sky and nature and the elementals was a lot less than it is now. Technology got in the way. I don't know why it's happening now, but those things seem to be popping up. More and more people can see them. Just, if I could just ask people, just be open to it a little bit.
Right. Open that possibility. I wish that would happen. It's funny. You know, a lot of our listeners, Brett, are fascinated by the subject, but complete non-believers. And it astounds me. And what's funny is some of those people will be like, listen, we listen to the show. I love the show. It's so entertaining. It's funny to listen to the lunatics you have on their show that believe this or believe that. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's why I listen. But with that said, and then they tell me some off the wall, completely batshit crazy story, a paranormal story. And I don't mean like crazy as in they're insane, but, and then they're just like, I don't know what any of that is, but I still don't believe the supernatural exists. And I'm like, my God, what do you need to believe? That is like a holy grail moment that has delivered itself unto you. And you're just like, okay, whatever. You know,
they call it cognitive dissonance.
Okay. Right.
There's some people that will have an event like that and they become, quote, born again, you know? And then there's some people that have it and it's like the old saying, does not compute, does not compute.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird world we live in.
You know, when I sent that video that I have, the one that is the two-colored square that was floating up to me that's appeared twice now, and the initial video was 15 seconds. That doesn't sound very long until you realize that, and by the way, this is not me bragging when I say this. No one I know has seen anything like my 15-second video of a purple and gold square that seems to interact with me. okay? That floats right up to me. The reason I sent it to people was to say, have you seen anything like it? And in a way, you set yourself up, because I posted it, and I'm sorry to put it this way, I got some idiotic comments. People would say, spider. No, it's nothing about it was spider-ish. And I'm not so naive. You know, I'm entering my seventh decade on Earth, for God's sake. I'm not so hokey that I'm filming the shadow of a ladybug and telling people it's paranormal. It's been, I just wish, and I have gotten about 10 different kinds of what I call LVAs, luminous visual anomalies. See, I'm not calling them extraterrestrial. I don't know what they are. I just know that they're visible. They're light. And I've also recorded some when it's in the daytime, which makes, those are the unusual ones when they appear when the sun is out, by the way.
And you've seen those with the naked eye as well?
Yes, but only, I'd say 95% of them are only visible through a camera lens. It's starting to happen lately where I will see them out of my peripheral vision. This happened the other night. I had a feeling that I should I should film the camera. And it was a distinct feeling, and when I did it, all kinds of things showed up in the lens. It was over my fence on my patio, of all things, and it was like a snowstorm, except it was going from the bottom to the top. And I have no idea what made me record in this particular place, because I had never put a camera there before.
Do you feel that you were being
drawn? Oh, you know what I've gotten into? I have to tell you what I'm into. And
sure.
Go ahead. And I'm fine to be called crazy. Y'all, crystals are packing. Do I know how they work? Do I know which ones? You know, no, I don't. Except crystals are very, there's a reason that they're mentioned in the Bible almost 1,800 times, for those of you who, you know, keep track. Crystals are, as my uncle told me before he passed away, bless his heart, my uncle went to MIT. He was saying, like, look, they put crystals in radios for a reason.
Right.
And there's somebody I wanted to mention to you. His name is Keith Clark. He's got a site and a YouTube channel called iDigital Medium. He's probably the cutting edge of ITC, that, you know, the people who study afterlife communications through electronic equipment, right?
Sure.
So he went to the live meteor feed, and because people in the afterlife use certain electronic stuff to use their voices, all the ghost apps you hear, you know, have
right.
background noise, that kind of thing. Anyway, the voices he's gotten from live meteor feed are mind blowing. I think, and I don't know if they're alien or crossed over humans, but, or a combination of the two, but there's all kinds of things coming through. That's why I was saying earlier, I'm very careful with my phone about, I had someone suggest that I protect my electronic equipment from,
right.
Bad spirit. So nobody, if anybody saw that I cover my phone with something white and black tourmaline while I'm charging it, I'd probably be locked up, eh?
I'm so fascinated and excited by this stuff, and I love talking to somebody like you that's open to the ideas and the possibilities and what is it that we're dealing with, and should we be more open to it? And like you said, you don't know the answers. You just know that when you do this or that, you get responses and results, and you're hearing things, you're seeing things, and it's not insanity, because other people are sharing these same experiences around the world. And you know, that's what's been so fascinating to me. We used to laugh and joke about fairies when we started the show. And Rosemary Ellen Guiley said, why do we draw the line there, Dave? Why is that so funny? You'll believe in ghosts and Bigfoot and aliens, but I tell you about fairies, and that's the part you find, you know, impossible.
Uh-huh.
And that really helped to reawaken
me. And they're not all good. They're not all good either.
When, no.
I had something happen at my house. I bought my littlest dog. He loves sweet toys. This one was a chicken dressed like a pirate. Don't ask. If you have dogs, you know why you get them. But he was playing with it, and all of a sudden, he ran to the front door. He was whimpering, shaking, scratching to get out, and even peed on himself. And I realized this, I went, oh, my God, there's a little spirit messing with my dog. You know what I did? I yelled out the nastiest thing. A friend said, you have to yell at bad ghosts. I chopped the head of the toy off. I threatened the spirit. My dog is still shaking. And then I remembered, this was almost 5 minutes of watching my little baby be terrified. I ran upstairs and grabbed this rock a friend said was protective. Did I believe that a black rock could protect me? Hell no. So I ran downstairs. I rubbed it from his collar down to the tip of his tail. Boom, he was back to normal. And don't think I didn't go out and spend a few bucks on a pound of black tourmaline, by the way.
Well, there you've got it, folks.
And
so
you're
getting some hints and tips careful. From Brett.
I've been very careful about, what gets in my house.
Do you, because you are open and you do these readings for people and they're connecting and have you ever been and we'll leave on a creepy note for our listeners, but have you ever been like, somebody calls you, do this reading for me. I'd like to connect with my loved ones. Do you ever start connecting with the loved ones, but then something dark is in the offing? You can feel something dark trying to seep into the reading or push its way forward.
Usually I will get a feeling about that before I even talk to the person. I try to get a feel for it when, in the beginning, when I do a prayer of intention and protection, and I say to my clients, when they call me for another reading, they go, well, I've already heard that. And I go, I'm saying this for me if you don't need it.
Right.
yes, I've gotten some very, yes, I've had things like that happen. I've had, because I do call in protection and I established that before the phone call, it's more heartbreaking to me to see people in limbo and spirit. And a lot of the time it's in the living person who wants the reading, who is so filled with rage or unforgiveness or pain. They want to see the other side as punished. And that's a lose-lose situation.
Wow. Yeah, I guess that's another aspect of it. Do we ever come into contact with versions of our own personality from past lives when you're doing a reading? Do you ever get somebody who it doesn't seem to make sense? They're trying to communicate about a story or something, and then you start to realize, oh, my God, this is you. I'm getting a message from you.
No, I have only had... in my own experience, one distinct recurring dream of a past life in which I drowned. It was a very simple dream. Every time the water went, I just knew ever since I was a little girl in one of my lives, I drowned and the dream eventually stopped. But other than that, the words past life is so fraught with, there's some, and I know Shirley MacLaine, and when I finally met her after reading her books, I go, really, Shirley, every life a queen? Give me a break. I think I've been a Bob's Big Boy waitress and almost all of mine. If what people were recalling didn't seem to be so like, well, I was a conquistador, and they're all so romantic and dramatic. Most lives aren't. As Doris Cannon says, they're really just digging potatoes lives. That's what people did. So if I get a sense of that, I guess to answer your question, not really. I can't really tell, if it's someone else's life. I know people who do past life regressions. That's their job. And there's a woman named Alba Weinman, who's doing this thing called quantum hypnosis healing. That is some of the most extraordinary stuff I've ever heard. She gets people who remember lives as like a purple crystal on another planet, by the way.
Well, I'll have to talk to you about that off air. We've got to get that information and maybe talk about it on an upcoming episode. I know you've got to get going, Brett. It's always a pleasure catching up with you. I'm sorry it's been so long since we relaunched. And hopefully we can get this thing down where we can have you take some calls again. Listeners would love the chance to chat with you, ask questions, and be a part of it. So as soon as we can do that live.
I love darkness. Thank you so much for having me on. I love you guys.
It's such a pleasure, Brett. And thank you for being a part of my life as a friend and as a cohort in the paranormal field. You have helped to enlighten me and done so much for me and my family. Again, if you'd like your own reading, realbrettbutler.com. You can sign up on our website and purchase readings. And remember that the money you spend goes to help Brett with animals that are in need. She helps with older and forgotten, misfortunate, and in desperate need of medical attention animals from
I'm about
dogs
to
and
get
cats
an
and more. Yeah, that goes a long way. So remember that the money that you spend on these readings goes a long way to help out our animal and furry friends. That's it for tonight. We've got more coming your way this week here on the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Beyond the Darkness.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.